Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 19 years, and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives, as well as healthier lifestyle choices. I welcome your input and feedback about this show and encourage you to contact me personally or the radio station should you have any specific questions, comments, or suggestions regarding this show. Now, before we start out with today's topic, let's listen to some music from today's feature CD. And the CD I picked is by William Ackerman, and the CD is titled Conferring with the Moon. I hope you will enjoy this song, and I'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today we will be talking about cholesterol and the myth behind it and what led to a cholesterol phobia in this country, which is this unwarranted fear of cholesterol in general. Now, it all started back in 1913 when a Russian scientist fed cholesterol to rabbits and it appeared to induce heart disease. Since fatty deposits in the arteries of humans with heart disease are high in cholesterol, the reasoning followed that these deposits were the result of an excess of cholesterol in the blood and possibly caused by an excess of cholesterol in the diet. However, this clinical study failed to realize that rabbits, being vegetarians, have no means for dealing with animal fat. However, this was the start of cholesterol getting attention. And over the years, there have been numerous studies that finally prove that there is absolutely no correlation between cholesterol and cardiovascular disease. Now, Eskimos are a good example because they have one of the highest cholesterol diets, and yet they have one of the lowest incidences of cardiovascular disease. The truth is, cholesterol isn't your enemy any more than sunshine is. It does a lot of good, and we can't live without it. So what is cholesterol, and what is its role? Cholesterol, like I mentioned earlier, is essential for life. Only 7% of the body's cholesterol is found in the blood, and the other 93% are located in every cell of the body, where cholesterol has a unique waxy, soapy consistency that provides the cell membranes with structural integrity and also regulates the flow of nutrients into and waste products out of the cells. So cholesterol is the building block for all hormones and the major component of liver bile. And your brain and nerves require cholesterol for normal electrical transmission. Now, some cholesterol comes from food, but the body itself produces 80%, mostly by the liver. And cholesterol really is not a fat, but it is often mentioned along with discussions of fat, and many people think that they are one and the same. Cholesterol actually is a waxy substance that's created in our bodies and primarily from the breakdown of fats and sugars and in some circumstances from protein. And we can also get cholesterol from eating animal products. It is never found in plant food. Cholesterol has gotten a very bad reputation over the years because of its false association with heart disease. But it is not all bad. Only 15% of a person's cholesterol comes from food, and the rest your body produces from scratch on purpose. Cholesterol is essential for helping cell membranes retain their structural consistency, and cholesterol also plays a role in healing damaged tissue, and it is used by the body along with calcium and collagen to form scar tissue, for example. Cholesterol is the main ingredient in bile, which is needed to absorb and digest fat and fat-soluble nutrients. It is also a building block for vitamin D and certain hormones, especially the hormones that regulate sexual functioning like estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Now, cholesterol is also used to make stress hormones as well, and when the body is under stress, more cholesterol is created to form adrenal hormones, which helps prepare us to either fight or flee the source of stress. And since cholesterol is an important component of cell walls, if a person consumes anything that damages them, such as alcohol or sugar, smoking, etc., then cholesterol production goes up so the cell walls can heal. Unfortunately, cholesterol can also accumulate in your arteries. But that really isn't the cholesterol's fault. The factors that actually created the need for more cholesterol are to blame, because it is just trying to protect you. And now, before we continue any further with this topic, let's take another short break and listen to some music from today's feature CD. And the CD is by an artist named William Ackerman. And the CD is titled Conferring with the Moon. And I will be back in a moment. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. And we have been talking about cholesterol, and I have been explaining what it is and that it is actually essential for many important processes in the body, such as healing tissue. It is also an important building block for vitamin D and many hormones. Cholesterol is produced by almost every cell in the body and is vital to the function of the brain and nervous system. Now, once cholesterol is finished doing whatever you needed it to do, leftover cholesterol has to be either recycled or eliminated. And that is your liver's job. It converts cholesterol into bile salts, which are then dumped into your intestines to help with fat digestion on the way out. Now, two things can interfere with the removal of cholesterol. And number one, the body may be lacking some of the vitamins and minerals that are needed to convert cholesterol into bile salts. Or the person does not have enough fiber in the diet, so things don't move through the bowels at a good enough speed. And in this case, up to 94% of the cholesterol that was dumped into your intestines gets pulled back into your bloodstream as a result. So it really is not the cholesterol's fault at all. And now we have to ask ourselves, is the diet to blame? Partly, but not for the reasons you have been hearing about. High cholesterol diets are a problem because they tend to be low-fiber diets. And on the other hand, many low-fat, low-cholesterol diets are a problem because they are full of refined carbohydrates, which, among other things, damage cell walls and cause inflammation. And we know that any time there's inflammation present in the body, there is a call for cholesterol to clean up the mess and heal the area. High fat, sugar, and/or trans fat intake tends to generate a lot of toxic free radicals, which deplete your antioxidants. And again, this activates the production of excess cholesterol. So it is really a kind of a vicious cycle. Plus, a diet that is low in the vitamins and minerals needed to convert cholesterol into bile salts can have the same effect. So cholesterol takes the blame, but the truth is that checking your cholesterol does not tell you anything about your heart health. A much more accurate way to check your cardiovascular risk is to get your blood tested for a chemical called C-reactive protein, which goes up when there's an inflammation damaging your arteries. So now let's talk about bad cholesterol versus good cholesterol. Most fats are metabolized in the liver, and from there, new triglycerides as well as cholesterol are carried through the bloodstream by either high-density lipoproteins or low-density lipoproteins. Now, you may be more familiar with these terms for their abbreviations, HDL and LDL. And the density refers to the amount of protein in these molecules, as protein has a greater density than does fat. So LDL transports cholesterol to artery walls to repair damage, and HDL removes cholesterol from artery walls and returns it to the liver so it can be eliminated from the body if not needed. Now, fats that are not metabolized shortly after digestion are stored in fat cells under the skin, as is any excess of carbohydrates. And as you know, your cholesterol is broken down into total cholesterol, LDL, and HDL. Now, you want your LDL cholesterol to be low, ideally below 100, and your HDL cholesterol to be high, ideally above 60. And your total cholesterol to be between 100 and 200. Now, many years ago, a safe level was at 300, and back in 2001, the level was slashed to 200, and just recently, the safe level was lowered to 150 or 130. Now, we all can take a good guess what the reason may be behind that. HDL is the most important measure, however. But the most important measure is your total cholesterol and HDL ratio. And this is your total cholesterol score divided by your HDL score. so the result should be below 4. In other words, a quarter of your cholesterol is in the good HDL form, which means that your body can clearly eliminate excess cholesterol from your arteries. Now, it doesn't matter if your total cholesterol level is elevated if a high percentage of it is in HDL form. Ideally, your total cholesterol HDL ratio should be at 3 or less. A ratio of 5 or more is not good, while a ratio of 8 or more is bad. And a person will do little good trying to bring your LDL cholesterol down unless you take steps to stop the inflammation, which the LDL is trying to heal and repair. Also, LDL is important for fighting infections, so eating a good and healthy balanced diet is the foremost important factor to avoid inflammation. Plus, a person needs special vitamins and minerals to avoid the presence of inflammation in the first place. Now it's time for another short break with music, so let's listen to another track from today's feature CD by William Ackerman. And when I come back, we will talk about the dangers of statin drugs. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We have been talking about the myth and truth about cholesterol. And now I want to briefly explain the dangers of statin drugs or cholesterol-lowering drugs. And these drugs act by inhibiting an enzyme that is needed for the formation of cholesterol in the liver. And these inhibitors are called statins, and they are sold as Lipitor, Mevacor, Socor, etc. And statin drugs or cholesterol-lowering drugs give people really kind of a wrong sense of security. Even though they do lower LDL and inflammation, they also have a long list of toxic side effects, including massive inflammation in the muscles and tendons and liver damage. Plus, they deplete the body of the powerful antioxidant CoQ10 by as much as 40%. And this depletion can, among other effects, actually increase the risk of heart disease. Now, frequently, people who are on statin drugs experience tingling and pain in the hands and feet, as well as difficulty walking. And these conditions are often blamed on old age rather than on the drug. Also, many patients have reported memory loss and brain fog. In every study to date, statins have caused cancer. Most human trials are not carried out long enough to detect any increase in cancer rates. But in one trial, breast cancer rates of those taking a statin were 1,500% higher. Now, we know that cholesterol is a powerful antioxidant that basically protects us against free radicals and therefore against cancer. Also, numerous studies have linked low cholesterol with depression. Cholesterol protects us against depression because it plays a role in the utilization of serotonin, which is the body's feel-good chemical. Since cholesterol is the mother of all hormones, because it is the main raw material of the hormones produced in your body, statin drugs also affect your hormones. So really, it is only a swap from lower cholesterol numbers for poor hormonal health. Now, if you are one of the people taking statin drugs and simply feel lousy from the side effects, just talk to your doctor that you want to quit statins for a while to see how you feel. And in the meantime, take a tablespoon of cod liver oil daily, which provides more protection for your heart without any side effects, and it also enhances hormone production at the same time. Rather than taking a dangerous statin drug, a person should take the big picture approach. Look at your high cholesterol as a warning that some important health need in your body is not being met. And now let's take another break with music from today's feature CD. And when I come back, we will talk about natural steps to lower your cholesterol.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour. We have been talking about the importance of cholesterol and the dangers of statin drugs. And on the same subject of cholesterol-lowering drugs or statin drugs, I would like to read a paragraph to you from the book Nourishing Traditions on page 184. And this book quotes a lot of nutritional scientific research, and this is what it says about cholesterol-lowering drugs or statin drugs. Quote, in the 1960s, the Japanese discovered a substance that inhibits cholesterol production. Animal studies revealed that the compound was highly toxic, so the Japanese wisely concluded it has no medical use. They sold the discovery to Merck, the American drug company, which received FDA approval for the substance at uncharacteristic speed. The Merck drug is now known as Mevacor, and similar products are sold by other companies. Side effects include liver damage, reduced libido, slowed reactions, cancer, stroke, intestinal disease, depression, antisocial behavior, accidents, and suicides. Cholesterol-lowering drugs block the body's production of coenzyme Q10, needed for normal function of the heart. In short, these drugs make people old and grumpy, but so pervasive is the anti-cholesterol propaganda that Americans are willing to pay $60 billion for this stuff every year. Unquote. So this piece of information should make anybody wonder about statin drugs. And again, this was quoted out of the book Nourishing Traditions, which is also available at Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center. Now let's look at things a person can do to lower cholesterol the natural way. Now, first of all, it is important to avoid processed foods, especially foods containing processed vegetable oils and trans fats. Now, since we're on this subject here, let's talk a little bit about oils and the alteration of oils. Now, 100 years ago, people ate fresh, whole foods, including plenty of grass-fed and free-range meat, butter, and lard. But they did not eat any refined, processed, or chemical foods, and certainly did not eat any refined and altered oils and fats. 100 years ago, heart attacks were practically unheard of in the United States, and so was Alzheimer's disease. It just did not exist. Now, most people don't realize that oils contain important nutrients when they are unrefined. Now, Dr. Royal Lee, he was one of the first nutritional pioneers, he pointed out back in the 1950s that natural fats and oils contain vitamins A, E, K, and also trace minerals, and that we need those basically to maintain our normal weight and normal blood pressure, also to prevent heart disease and to maintain hormonal balance. And he warned of the destruction to our health when fats and oils are tinkered with. Now, fats or oils from seeds are extracted by first grinding and then expeller pressing the seeds. When manufacturers wanted to increase the amount of oil produced, they applied chemical solvents to extract more oil, increasing the amount by almost 80%. Now, benzene was the first solvent to be used, but hexane is the one predominantly used today. And hexane is a high vapor pressure component of gasoline that is easily ignited. And not surprisingly, the EPA lists it as a carcinogen. And the original studies claimed that all traces of hexane either evaporate or are removed. However, studies done in 1997 on cooking oils extracted with hexane found higher levels than expected. But the processing nightmare doesn't stop there. Many oils are hydrogenated, which means they are subjected to high heat, a metal catalyst, and hydrogen and gas. And then they are degummed. And this process removes important vitamins and minerals. And if the oil is to be used for cooking, it is also bleached. Now, let's talk a little bit about trans fats. Most vegetable oils that are made from seeds cannot be used for baking and deep fat frying unless they are changed again from a liquid oil into a solid fat. When you try to substitute a cup of oil for a cup of butter or lard in your cookie recipe, you will end up with a flat, greasy cookie. Now, frying foods in unrefined oil can cause them to look greasy, but most of all, the oil will spoil very, very quickly. And these nasty problems are fixed by a process called partial hydrogenation, which changes oils into man-made plastic fats that do not melt at room temperature. And this partial hydrogenation process has produced a whole new class of fatty acids called trans fatty acids that we're hearing so much about in the news today. The FDA has determined that the safe level of trans fats in the diet is zero. But instead of banning them from foods, the FDA simply required the processing food companies to label all trans fat content, starting in 2006. However, you should be aware that the FDA allows foods that list partially hydrogenated oil in the ingredients to say zero trans fats on the label if they contain less than half a gram per serving. But this adds up. For example, 5 cookies with 0.4 grams of trans fats would add up to 2 grams of trans fats. Now, the FDA estimates that the average American eats about 4.5 pounds of trans fats each year. And actually, I think it is a lot more than that. And these trans fats not only have artery clogging properties, but they also cause cellular damage. So trans fats are about as dangerous to eat as any substance the food industry has ever created. And immune disorders and childhood asthma are on the rise. Now, before we continue, let's listen to another track from our feature CD. And when I come back, we will continue with today's topic. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Now, we have been talking about cholesterol and natural measures a person can take to avoid high cholesterol through diet, and I briefly explained the dangers of trans fats. Now, according to Dr. John Abramson, he is the author of the book titled Overdosed America, The Broken Promise of American Medicine, he says that most heart attacks are not caused by the gradual buildup of plaque, but are actually the result of a small area of this plaque becoming eroded on its surface and breaking open. And this causes the tiny platelets circulating in the blood to become sticky and form a small blood clot on top of the plaque. Now, without any warning, clots can quickly obstruct the flow of blood through a coronary artery, causing a heart attack. Although no one knows for sure what causes the plaque to break open, we do know that excess insulin aggravates the creation and buildup of plaque and many other processes we don't want going on in our bodies. Now, making the necessary dietary changes to keep insulin under control is one of the best things you can do for your health and well-being. Now, excess insulin in the blood causes LDL levels to rise. Excess carbs cause excess insulin, and the only way to truly control insulin is with diet, and good fats play an important role in maintaining our health. So it's important to eat an LDL-lowering diet, which includes abundant fiber from whole grains and vegetables and fruits. It is also important to cut out all processed and refined oils and switch to healthy oils like olive oil, coconut oil, and flaxseed oil. However, it is important to note that the flaxseed oil should not be used for cooking. Also, make sure you get enough omega-3 fatty acids by eating high-quality, wild-caught, cold-water fish like salmon at least once or twice a week, or take a high-quality cod liver oil supplement, which we have available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center. Also, make sure you get daily servings of soluble fiber like flaxseed, ground flaxseed, oats, barley, and psyllium husk powder. And also consume free-range, grass-fed meats. Now, omega-3 fatty acids, especially EPA found in fish oil and flaxseed oil, are important for good heart health, according to Dr. Sinatra, who is a medical doctor and cardiologist. Now, if your diet is lacking essential nutrients and vitamins, you should add a whole food supplement, a high-quality multivitamin and mineral, which we have available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center as well. And this will help support the liver's ability to convert leftover cholesterol into bile salts. Now, exercise is really important too, because moderate daily exercise not only improves circulation and heart muscle strength, but it also stabilizes metabolism for faster and easier weight loss. And last but not least, it's important to take time to de-stress. Stress is a major cardiovascular risk factor. Diet is the main way for all of us to exercise control over our health and create a sense of well-being. By eating high-protein meals and snacks, by adding good unrefined oils to our diets, avoiding trans fats, and cutting down on carbohydrates, we can do a lot to cut down on excess insulin and experience good health. Now, while the consumption of pizza and other fast foods is rampant in our schools, nearly 6 million children have been diagnosed with ADHD, which is a condition that has been consistently tied to the result of eating too many carbohydrates. Now, most people are unaware that partially hydrogenated oils or trans fats basically block the good fatty acids from entering the cells in our bodies. And with this comes a loss of calcium assimilation and persistent high blood sugar levels because insulin can't get into the cells either. Now, let's take another break with more music, and when I come back, we will feature the food of the week. Thank you. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We have been talking about cholesterol and the importance of good fats and the avoidance of processed foods. Now, good whole food is the most important element in our lives. Food is the source of the nutrients required by the human body to perform its many biochemical processes. Because nutritional deficiencies are normally not life-threatening at first and take time to manifest themselves as serious health problems, many people ignore the early warning signs that their bodies are giving them. Depression or deteriorating joints are among these warning signs, and all too often we dismiss them as being both normal and natural. And worse, we expect them. However, the root cause of all symptoms and disease are depleted foods, poor diet, and a sedentary lifestyle. And then we must also add other considerations to this picture. The toll of decades of substandard foods being produced and consumed, weakening each generation, massive amounts of herbicides and pesticides and fungicides being applied to growing foods, and to top it all off, literally thousands of untested food additives that are added to processed foods. Now, all of these factors cause the breakdown of our immune system. And therefore, we now have autoimmune diseases we have never even heard of before. Now, because this has happened over a span of time involving several generations, people have come to accept marginal health as the norm. And the public has never been given access to accurate nutritional information. Instead, the processed food industry has been allowed to have its way, and television, with all its commercial sponsors, has served as the main source of nutritional information for the majority of us. Marketing to children has become the processing food industry's strength. Unfortunately, in today's healthcare model, there is no interest in prevention. The more people get sick and slowly deteriorate, the more money there is to be made. Now, health practitioners should also be concerned about their patients' lifestyle and diet, which in most cases are the underlying cause of their health problems. Now, taking this approach is very different from following the traditional medical mode, and it requires both action and willpower on the part of the patient. And my goal is to educate about natural foods and whole food supplements and the importance of protein and natural fats in the diet. And now, let's take another short break. And when I come back, we will be about ready to wrap up today's show by featuring the food of the week. Thank you. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. And it is time to wrap up today's show and feature the food of the week, which I chose to be walnuts. Now, I find it very interesting that depending on how you split the walnut in its shell, the nut resembles either a heart or a brain, and how appropriate it is because these nuts are beneficial for both. Now, walnuts not only contain heart-healthy oils like many other nuts, but they are the only nuts and one of the very few foods that has beneficial amounts of ALA, or alpha-linolenic acid, which is a special omega-3 fatty acid that protects the heart in several ways. And since today's topic was cholesterol, these nuts improve the ratio of the good or HDL to bad or LDL cholesterol, and they also reduce inflammation by helping to block the conversion of cholesterol into harmful artery-clogging plaque. But the ALA in walnuts also plays a significant role in the development of the brain, and low levels of ALA have been associated with depression and other mood disorders. Since your body can't manufacture ALA, you need to eat foods that contain it. And walnuts fit the bill, but the benefits of eating walnuts extend even beyond the good fat. They provide a concentrated source of disease-fighting antioxidants, including vitamin E. And they also contain anti-cancer properties and melatonin, which helps regulate sleep pattern and delay age-associated diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. The protein in walnuts contains an amino acid which relaxes blood vessels and in turn is good for high blood pressure, but it also boosts immunity and inhibits tumor growth and cancer. Now, there are two main types of walnuts grown in the U.S., and there is the pungent and tough-to-crack black walnut, and there's the walnut you will encounter in most supermarkets, which is called the Persian or English walnut. But walnuts are more perishable than other nuts due to their high content of polyunsaturated fats, so it actually would be better to buy them still in the shell. If you buy shelled walnuts, buy the halves rather than the pieces because more cut surfaces encourage oxidation. And it is best to store them in the refrigerator or freezer to maximize freshness. The best way to consume them, as I described this process in earlier shows, would be in sprouted or germinated and then roasted form. And the sprouting or germination process basically can be performed right in your kitchen and involves soaking the nuts overnight in pure water with a small amount of sea salt. And the next day you drain off the water and you spread the walnuts on a cookie sheet and you place them in a 150-degree oven and roast them until they are dry. And then you can store them in a tight container in the refrigerator. Now, the sprouting, soaking, or germination process unlocks many important nutrients and makes the nutrients more bioavailable and also destroys enzyme inhibitors as well as phytic acid, which can actually hinder the absorption of calcium and many other important nutrients. If you're looking for another way to get more walnuts into your diet, you can also try walnut oil. Just make sure you buy a good quality of unrefined walnut oil. And unrefined oil is more expensive and more perishable than refined walnut oil. It is made from nuts that are roasted at moderate temperatures before pressing it, and it has a nutty taste and a light brown color. You should not heat it up, but you should use it in salad dressings or drizzle it on finished dishes. Now, this wraps up today's show. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you will join me again next week right here on WLY for another segment of the Natural Health and Wellness Hour. And if you have any further questions, please feel free to contact me or the radio station. I invite you to visit my website at elywellness.com, and I also invite you to visit our retail store, the Evergreen Cottage, on the corner of 2nd Avenue and Chapman Street. Please make sure to stop by and check out our newest addition, the Whole Foods Pantry, and you will find a great selection of organic and local produce, as well as organic meats and dairy, a variety of natural foods, and health and beauty products. Now, thanks again for listening. Be well and take care.